Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Another conversation now with connections to climate, this one pertaining to the economy. The U.S. economy grew at 3.5% in the third quarter of this year, according to government figures out today. One of the few things that Democrats and Republicans seem to agree on is that economic growth is good for everybody. But our next guest argues that prizing economic growth has, quote, driven us into a ditch from an environmental standpoint. Ajay Singh Chowdhury is the executive director of the Brooklyn Institute for Social Research. He says if we want to deal with climate change, small incremental change won't work. He says we need to rethink our system of capitalism, starting with our obsession with economic growth, because the focus on growth causes us to prioritize the wrong things.
There are lots of things that in the short term could mean certain kinds of economic growth. There's a lot more money, right? There's a lot more net GDP to be made in extractivism than there is in sort of sustainability. So actually what we need to really think, be sort of shifting the conversation from, and this is a huge shift. It's not just a shift about policies. It's a shift about the way we imagine politics, the way we imagine economics, is not so much do we want growth? Do we want less growth? It's what do we actually want from growth? Usually when people say, oh, I want high growth rates, what they mean is something like, oh, high growth rates are going to lead to more prosperity. But I actually know I can do a nice pair comparison, right? We have very high growth rates in China. We have very high growth rates in India. And yet somehow China seems to be able to turn those into slightly better social outcomes than India is. A lot of what we associate with growth can be achieved through other means, distributional means, other ways of thinking about economic outcomes than what we currently talk about.
Is this an academic exercise, or do you really think this would happen?
It is possible. Do I think it's like 100% like it's a certainty? No. In fact, there's like so much arrayed against it. I think so often this conversation about climate change gets framed in these like hilarious things like, oh, are you like – how much plastics are you recycling? How much are you composting? Have you eaten more beans than meat? Right? Like, as opposed to like, how have you worked to make an actual democratic politics more possible today? Right? Have you become part of a movement? How are you doing those things? Those things are actually much more important, believe it or not, than our individual consumption choices.
What kind of movement? I mean, like one, give me one thing. Okay, so I could decide I'm not going to eat red meat anymore, but you're saying instead of that, you become part of a movement that would do what?
Anyone who is emphasizing any movement that is trying to move the needle to give more power to popular sovereignty and less to capital, less to the sovereignty of concentrated wealth and money, is going to not necessarily cause all the changes that I am saying, but it is necessary.
But what kind of movement? Give us an example.
You can think of two sort of tendencies. One is the sort of rise of a sort of reinvigorated left, whether you associate that with the Democratic Socialists of America or other movements. That is a very important part of the conversation. Another would be very local organizations, but with a sort of very grand vision. This would be groups like Cooperation Jackson in Mississippi, who are really trying to build a sort of eco-sustainable society from the ground up.
Meaning what?
Oh, meaning that they are working, you know, both to set up a sort of a system of greater democratic governance. They are trying to, and they are succeeding in some ways, to build a sort of eco-sustainable city from the ground up, including agriculture, including manufacturing. But that doesn't ignore these political and economic parts of the story, right, that are trying to put really a democratic control as the necessary medium through which this management is possible. So that's a very local response. There are national responses. There are even international stories. I mean, we have built a global system, and part of the story of climate change is a story of building a global system of sort of almost absolute freedom for capital and really limited freedom for people. And in some ways, that's what's got to be reversed. We need more time, more freedom. I call this temporal freedom for people, free movement for people, and greater restriction and democratic control on capital.
That's Ajay Singh Chowdhury, executive director of the Brooklyn Institute for Social Research, sharing his views on some of the larger shifts that he'd like to see to our economic system if we're going to combat climate change.